MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp strut. Construct game on those who act lame. See, ain't a damn thing change. You know I ride the neighborhood slow. Blocks on you and let the wind blow. True indeed, I'm having the ball. Pick up the phone and get my homies a call. What's up with y'all? Living in the city where we born to ball. Roll up to Philly, we pack it tight. What a pity, what a sight. Inhaling something more, damn, I got what I need.
Hey, everybody, it's Sunday night. Fights Live. We are here, and I want to thank our great sponsors, Persist Headwear and Takedown Grappleware, for rocking this show out for us every week, along with all the sponsors at MMA Madhouse. You guys know how we do it. The one, the only, the intercontinental champion of LA, Ray Lopez. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I like that intercontinental champion. That sounds great. Man, Skippy, what's up with Hendo? The old man still has it.
Straight up, we are the first people, faster than Zuffa, faster than anybody else. You got it here first. We're going to be breaking down what just happened, and Hendo threw that hand. I mean, it came out of his pocket like he was looking for change, and it shows on Shogun's nose. Shogun's nose is a quarter inch off of it. Bro, I'm on air. Dude, sorry, everybody. The matchmaker and owner for Budo Fights just walked in the studio. he twisted that. Dude, he broke his nose and moved it a quarter inch off his face. Hendo knocked Shogun out ridiculously just now.
Oh, really?
It was great.
I mean, this fight was everything that it was billed it was going to be. I mean, it was a great fight. I mean, the last one, I mean, they got to have a third one. They have to have a third one.
I say a rubber match is called for this. I really do. I know a lot of people are going to say it's not, but I say there's a rubber match, but I say it's after Henderson gets his title shot.
I agree. Yeah, Hendo, he got the title shot last time because of an injury. He was unable to fulfill it. And now, you know, after this, come on, Dana, you got to set it up.
Yeah. Speaking of badasses getting a win, a young man that we had on not too long ago, Jonathan St. Maria, grabbed his debut victory. Big shout out.
Oh, big time win. I mean, Johnny just killed it. You know, he's got two more fights left on his contract with Explode. He's looking at fighting maybe in May. I just talked to him earlier today. Kid's got a bright future in the sport.
Well, you know, I said it that night. He had his head on straight. He sounded like, you know, he knew what he needed to do to get where he wants to be. So big props to that young man. I'll be honest, folks, I've been down and out. I'm actually in the new studio. It's kind of ghettoed up. It's not, you know, all set up correctly, but we're getting there. So I've missed a lot of MMA in the last 2 days. I barely caught the main event tonight at Zuffa. But I'm glad I did. Wow, I mean, insane.
You know, another thing that happened today in the UFC, which I think deserves some talking about, is Will Chope in a Diego Brandão fight was called off. And
dude,
reason being because, you know, they found out Chope had abused his wife back when he was in the Air Force.
Yeah, okay, look, I'll be honest. I heard bits and pieces. All I heard was they cut him right before the fight. I mean, and they cut him from the UFC. Not waved off his fight, nothing. They cut him. And I heard rumors, but I didn't know why.
And, I mean, this is something I feel strongly about. Like, I don't believe Floyd Mayweather should be licensed to fight anymore either. You know, you lay your hands on a woman or a child as a fighter, you should not be licensed to fight ever again anywhere. So, you know, I'm glad the UFC stood up and cut him without question. And, you know, I'm happy. I think, like I said, I don't think Floyd Mayweather should be fighting either after he laid hands on a woman. Now,
do you think it should be a national law that any domestic violence convictions strips you of your fighter license for life? Because I know Budo has that same policy, is if you have any domestic violence, and it's just weird he's sitting here, but he has that same policy. He will not let any fighter with domestic violence charges, no bullying, none of that kind of stuff on his cards.
That's great, and I agree with that 100%. I mean, me personally, you know, I'm not just a member of the media. I'm involved in sport. I manage. I train fighters. I won't accept anybody on my fight team that has any charges like that on them. I do background checks on my guys. So if it's there, I'm going to find it, and I'm not going to let them be on my fight team like that. And if I find out that a fighter has committed domestic violence or abused a child, I'll put them on blast on this show, on Facebook, wherever I can. I'll put them on blast to ruin him because he doesn't deserve to be a fighter. And if people out there don't like what I'm saying, I'm not hard to find. I'm not one that runs from a fight. So, people, if you're going to put your hands on a woman and you're going to be in the fight game, I'm going to put you on blast. If you don't like it, you can step to me, and we can handle it.
I agree. I have no problem with that. I support you on that decision. And, you know, it's funny because we know promoters, both of us, all of us, including Derek sitting here with me. We all know promoters who have that blacklist. Some call it the wall of douchebags. Some call it the no-show wall. You know, whatever you guys call it, we all have it. Whether it's because you're, you know, a no-show every third event, or because you're cutting, you know, you're always late cutting weight and you come in 2-3 pounds over every single fight, or whether it's you're into domestic violence. You know, it's important that fighters realize that what you do outside that cage does matter inside that cage.
Oh yeah, that's not to say that you have a squeaky clean record, because you know what, stuff does happen.
Yes,
you know,
I agree, but there's certain things that you just can't accept.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Child molestation, raping, you know, racist gangs, you know, all that stuff. You know, you can't, you know, domestic violence, child abuse, these kind of things. You cannot promote somebody who has been convicted of these. That's and pay them on top of that to continue being that way.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, case in point, I had a very close friend who was in the NFL, Lawrence Phillips. You know, he was a great standout in college in Nebraska, played for the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Niners. And you know, a couple things happened, and you know, people didn't get the whole story in the news. We knew the whole story, so it was like, okay, well, it's not as bad as it was. But then a few years ago, he's in this pickup game of football at a park, and some kids, something happened with some, you know, some teenagers. And he gets in a car and he runs them down. You just can't defend that. You know, what are you thinking, you idiot?
hey, slow up. I might have done the similar thing like 20 years ago, just saying I might have. I'm not going to say I did, but, you know, sometimes when you're angry and behind a car, you make some really rash decisions, but I agree. I mean, all joking aside, you can't go running people down.
Yes, I mean, things happen. I mean, I ran over someone before, too. I mean, they didn't die, but they got pissed off at me and put a dent in my car.
Hey, check this out. No joke. My first wife. Yeah, it was my first wife. We were arguing, and I was leaning in the window, and I was like, what do you think you're doing? You know, you don't stop this car. And she started backing up. And the front tire on the driver's side ran up on my foot, and I screamed, and she stops. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you – ah, get off my foot. She puts it in park. She goes, do you want me to go forward or backwards?
Oh, wow.
God, she broke my foot, and the car was just sitting on it, and I was like, I don't care if you go forward or backwards. Just move. And then, you know, when she jerked it off of there, oh, God, it hurt.
Oh, man. Horrible.
Yes. I love all my ex-wives.
Yeah, I got quite a few baby mamas, too. I had one of them a week before football season started. I was still playing football. She decided to kick me in the shin with a steel-toe boot and fractured my leg.
Oh, no good there. No good.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So
I got to throw a disclaimer out there. Okay, I don't have kids out there everywhere. I got three babies mamas with four kids. I take care of all my kids, get along with babies mamas as much as possible. So I'm not out there, you know, with 48 kids and 62 babies mamas.
Well, that's a very good thing because I'm not either. I will tell you this much. Don't get drunk and party hop island to island in the Pacific Rim because you might end up married. Just happens to some people, and it happened to me, so you should definitely pay attention when you're drinking out there on the islands partying because I ended up married to a young lady from Guam for eight years.
Wow.
But it was a fun time. I mean, I was young. You know, you can get away with doing young things.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, 8 years, that's a while. I mean, my marriage lasted all of 2 years.
We were together
7.
Let's see, now my second wife, I met her in a gas station on Easter Sunday, and I married her that same day, and then, like, divorced her 37 days later.
Wow. You are the man, Skippy.
Well, that was just, you know, another drunken stupor of making bad choices. So, tonight, we're going to start off with Marvin, right?
Yeah, we got Marvin Cifuentes. You know, he's over there at Sparstar MMA. He's Tony Padilla's right-hand man. You know, he makes everything happen. You know, he's the man behind the scenes. You know, Tony is the face of the company, and Marvin makes everything happen behind the scenes. So it's going to be interesting to get his viewpoint on running a promotion and what he does. And you know, he's a great guy. Been working with him for a few years already. And he's got some big news coming up for the next Sparstar coming up in May. I mean, they already released it, but you know, I'm going to wait for him to tell our listeners what the big news is.
And then we're going to jump to Melanie, correct?
Yeah, we got Melanie Lacroix, a female fighter, a former Strike Force fighter. Elite XT fighter. And she's making her Bama debut. You know, she's taking a few years off, and she's ready to come back. You know, she's getting back into the family business. She's got her brother, Howard Lacroix, who's also a fighter. And daughter's father is Kenny Johnson from Black House. So she's pretty much immersed in the sport. And then after her, we got Dmitry Gerasimov. He's a fighter out of Los Angeles by way of Moscow, Russia. He's looking to improve his record to 4-0. He's going to be fighting at Lights Out Promotions at Hollywood Park Casino in April. This kid is a beast. I've known him for a while. You know, when he first started training MMA, he was just training. Never thought about fighting. And then one day he got the itch to fight. Came out as amateurs and just killed it. As a pro, he's killing it. This kid is awesome. I mean, he just turned 30 a couple days ago, so he's still got a big future ahead of him. So, you know, we're excited to speak to Dima.
I love, one of the things I love about your show is you're meeting me, introducing me to more and more cool people. And for everybody out there, why don't you talk a little bit about Sparstar Promotions, and I will get Marvin in queue.
Sounds good. Okay, well, you know, Sparstar MMA, it's one of the premier amateur organizations here in California. They always put on great shows, always have great venues. Now they're starting to get some entertainment going during their shows. Anytime you go to a Sparstar event, you know, it's an all-age event. It's a good family event, but it's also a party atmosphere. They got the music going. They got great sponsors, people like Takedown Grappleware, people like Don Chalada, Down to Scrap, Fight Me, Eliminate. This is it's a great show, great family to be a part of. bar star that really take care of their fighters and promote them and do their best to get them to the next level. And the production value is great. I mean, it's amateur organization, but you wouldn't know it by the way it's ran. It's very professional. I had some friends come out to the last fight. It was their first MMA fight, and they couldn't even tell the difference that it was amateur or pro. So, you know, we'll be getting Marvin Cifuentes on right now. He's the man behind the scenes. He makes everything go smoothly. Tony Padilla's right-hand man.
He is live and on the mic with you, Ray.
Starving Marvin. What's up, brother?
Nothing much, man. What's going on with you, brother?
Nothing much, bro. Just here chilling. Me and Skippy just shooting the shit here. Oh, yeah, I got to watch my language. My bad. And you know, tell us a little about what you do for Spar Star and what you guys got coming up.
Well, we obviously, you guys, everybody knows about that May 3rd show coming back to Hollywood Park Casino. We got a special guest this time around. We got Dev C from West Side Connection performing for us, which is, you know, first of its kind in MMA down here in SoCal for amateurs. What I do for sports, I do a little bit of everything, man. I do whatever Tony asked me to do to make the show run as smooth as possible, from setting up the cage to making sure all my fighters are well prepared for the fight, you know, hydrated with water, whatever it takes. I'll do anything it takes.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a busy man. You know, the week leading up to the fight, the day of the fight, it's like you're Speedy Gonzalez, bro, running around here and there doing this and that. You know, it's hard to catch up with you sometimes.
It is. But you know what? I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. Working with Spar Star has been one of the best experiences that I've had. Obviously, it made me meet a lot of great people like yourself, Ray. You know, your camp, you know, there's other camps out there the same way that I can't complain. You know, it's just fun, man. It's the love of the sport, and we try to do our best with what we have.
And now you say we got Dub C. That's the four fingers with the two twisted in the middle. Man,
exactly.
That's going to blow the roof off the place, bro.
Yes. It sure is, man. I know VIP tickets are almost sold out if they have not been sold out yet. Everybody,
wow.
As soon as word got out, those are the first ones that went out.
Okay. Now, other than me, because I'll be selling tickets, where can people buy tickets?
Through the website, sparstarpromotions.com, or you can hit up any of the fight camps. Your local fight camps will have tickets. Myself, I'll have tickets. Tony will have tickets. Some of our Vanessa, I know our ring girl, she's going to have some tickets on hand. I'm not sure how many. Just word of mouth, man. So one way or another, you can get a ticket. I know Fight Me sells his ticket. You know, everybody has tickets to sell, man.
Yeah, I just talked to Tony. I'll be getting mine as soon as they're printed. So people hit me up. I got tickets. And usually I give them at a discounted price. I can't say how low I give them because Tony Padilla would kill me if he knew I was signing for that price.
Oh, trust me, he would kill me if he knew how low I would sell him sometimes to take it. Hey, buddy, you know what? If we have asses on those seats, excuse my language, that, you know, I can't complain. As long as there's people coming and showing up to our shows, you know, and all the love we've been getting lately, it's all been great and dandy, man.
Now, the last show was packed beyond capacity. I mean, it was probably the biggest Spar Star show I've ever seen. It was off the hook at every fight. Could have been a main event anywhere else.
Yeah, and we had our, you know, I'm not going to say any names, but we did have a promoter in-house taking notes of what we do. You know, which, to us, it's a compliment because people are noticing what we do in this fight game. So, hey, we take it with pride.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, with all the fights you guys have done, you know, can you recall which was your favorite fight?
Shoot. Maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, back when we were in Almonte, Florentine Gardens, Erica Evans. I don't know if you guys remember her. She fought another girl from Spartan MMA, I believe it was. I think all three rounds, they went toe-to-toe. They set the tone for the rest of the night.
I remember that fight.
Do you remember that fight?
We were the fight right after them. It was like, man, how are we going to follow this up?
Exactly. And after that, every fight did do it, man. That's what was sick. And I think we were filming for The Buried Life at the time,
yeah.
The TV show.
Go on,
I'm sorry, Ray.
No, I was thinking, because Isaac Velasco was a fight right after them.
Yeah, I remember. But I think that's got to be the sickest fight that I've seen in a long time, other than the main event of last week, but it still didn't compare to it.
No, I agree that was probably one of the best fights that I've seen. You know, I mean, we're in the back getting ready and peeking out through the curtains watching it because the crowd was going bonkers.
Yeah, I remember that night very, very highly, man. It was a great fight. It was a great fight, great crowd, but nothing like we've had in the recent months. In the recent months, I think Farstar has just been going crazy in other states to start watching out because we got some big things in the works. It looks like we're going to be going to Texas maybe this year. And then hopefully we're going to hit Arizona. And I'm working on something big for Sparstar. Hopefully, if everything comes flowing our way, it's going to be something big that no amateur company has had yet.
Wow. I can't wait to hear what it is.
You know.
And you see, now I'm intrigued because usually I hear about this stuff before it happens, and I haven't heard yet. So it's like, wow, what is it?
Oh, it's something big, man. It's something big. It's going to help us get on the map, that's for sure. It will help us get on the map more than ever. You know, I won't have all the details till hopefully this Friday. If everything goes according to the way I plan it and the way I got to sit down and talk to Tony about it this week, we got something big working out, man. And hopefully it means more live performances from rap stars, you know. So we'll see. Hopefully
nice.
This one with Dempsey is just a stepping stone.
Nice. Okay, Martin, you've been in the game a while. What is the strangest thing that you've seen happen at a fight?
At a fight?
I remember one show you guys had at Normandy Casino. Melanie Lacroix's little brother, Howie, was going to fight. And at the weigh-ins, the dude came in a couple pounds over, so they said he had to cut. And then the dude, I don't know if he got scared of Howie, he got scared of Kenny Johnson. The dude's going to fight. He just disappeared.
I remember that. I remember that. The guy even was running outside cutting weight. You know, but I think the craziest thing that I've seen is yours truly. Back when we were at Florentine Gardens, I got into an altercation with another camp. Back when we had our other partner, Tony Perez, I think we were all a little bit too intoxicated that time. And from the first row, I jumped and I did a Superman and I landed on the guy that was going to swing at Tony. That was the craziest thing that I've seen at our fights yet.
Yeah, I remember Tony Perez. He was actually the first person on the Spar Star that I had met.
Yeah, good guy. You know, unfortunately parted ways, but, you know, he's still in our hearts.
Well, you know, it happens. You know, this sport, it's an ever-evolving sport, and, you know, some people go their own separate ways, and things happen, and, you know, it's just part of the business.
Yeah,
But I'm sorry, brother.
Happens.
Go ahead. I'm sorry for cutting you off. That was rude. I was curious with what you guys are talking, you know, some events back in the day. What's the one thing you think Sparstar has improved on the most from the beginning to today?
The quality of our fights. Our fights have just gotten better and better and better. Our matchmaking is unbelievable. We got Mal that works for us. Tony puts on some great fights as well. You know, it's our fight. Our fights just keep on getting better and better in the camps that we work with.
Now, are you, you know, I know we've gotten to, you know, kick back, you know, and talk with Tony, and I got mad love and respect for him. With you, your involvement in this company, obviously you've got your fingers in a lot of pies. What aspect do you find the most fulfilling that you have, you know, laid upon your table each event?
You know what? Just being part of the company. There's not one thing I can touch on that would say, man, this fulfills me. It's just being part of the company and being there every weekend, meeting all the great people, you know, a fan telling me at the end of the fight, man, you guys put on a hell of a show. That makes it for me.
Okay. When you are out there, you know, because I'll be honest, this is the first time I'm getting a chance to talk to you, and I'm going to steal a couple minutes of Ray's time so I can learn a few things, you
Go
know.
For it.
Have you dropped some knowledge on this hillbilly? But when you're out there and you guys are trying to, you know, make matchups, how much does it, for you personally, does it weigh their ability in this, to use social media to hype their previous fights or events they've been part of?
You know what? Social media is a big thing nowadays. We try to use it as much as we can to our advantage. And trying to make match at times or trying to hype up a fight, it's hard sometimes with social media just because a lot of people in SoCal don't know their local fighter. So it's hard. But just, you know, people putting the word out there, Spar Star, every new face that comes in, you know, they do it for us because they're the ones that are going out and posting it, saying, hey, man, we had fun at Spar Star fights. I hope I answered your question as much as I could. But,
well,
you know.
Basically what I was trying to get to is, let's say that, you know, you've got Peter, he's the champion, and you got Steven and Tyler, they're both 8-2, both from reputable camps, but one is social media savvy and one is not. Does that determine your final pick?
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. 'Cause we want to see the best. Sparshaw wants to put on the best quality fight out there. So just because one fighter is more popular than the other one, that's not going to do it for us. You know, because you can have one guy that, you know, he doesn't believe in Facebook or he doesn't have social media, but he's got a big backing even without it. And
well,
we've seen that happen before.
And you know that happens quite a bit. We, you know, I can name a major, major top four worldwide MMA league whose owner sat down and said to me, I will pass up, if two fighters are equal, the one who is less savvy with social media. And you're just the opposite. You're like, look, we'll sit down and take whoever fits the best, period. You know, so it's just interesting, you know, because like you said, you guys are, especially with Ray now, being able to bring more and more regional and local fighters to his neck of the woods, onto this show and you know, let fans around the world from Asia to, you know, the Hamptons listen. It's interesting because, you know, certain promoters would say, look, social media savvy is the second most important thing next to a record in my book. And you're saying it's not. So I find that interesting. I like that you guys don't have a problem putting a good fighter on a card if the match is right, whether he's social media savvy or not.
Yeah, because, you know, Sparshaw wants to put the best fight out there, and I think we've been doing a great quality of fight, of matchmaking out there right now. I don't think I've seen other promoters in our local area that can do it the way we do it. And it might sound cocky, but it's the truth. Just because one guy is going to be more social media savvy than the other one, why put on a great guy that's going to put on a great fight, but if the other guy that's social media savvy ain't going to come with it, it kind of sucks. not you know, just I've, for us, no, but I've, for the fans.
I've said it, I'm sorry, Marvin, but I've said it before, too. I mean, just because you post on Facebook doesn't make you a great fighter.
Exactly. True. And people are different on paper than they are on when you step into the ring. You know, and a lot of promotion companies try to bring up one fighter, and they don't put any talent up against him. So, yeah, he's going to have a great record. But Sparstar tries to do different. Sparstar tries to put on the best fights with the best fighters out right now so you can walk away with a smile. Say, damn, that was a great fight. And I know I've said it myself in many of our shows where I've walked away and I said, oh, excuse my language. Man, that was the greatest fight I've seen in a long time.
Sparstar always has great fights. And I mean, and you, Marvin, you always come by, kick it at our table for a minute. And it's always great kicking it with you. And, you know, dealing with Sparstar, you know, I don't feel like I'm a vendor. I feel like I'm part of the family. You know, it's great. I mean, I love working with Sparstar. I love working with you and Tony. And I can't wait till May 3rd to see Dub C. You know,
yeah, May 3rd will be off the hook. Sorry, Rick.
We just got to make sure that he plays Pay Your Dues because that's like my favorite song ever.
Yeah, true. You know, I believe everybody has to pay their dues, but like you said, our company is more like family than anything else.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we love having you there with all of our other vendors, but you've been with us from the beginning. And we appreciate that, and we have so much love for you, man.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. I got lots of love for you guys. You know, we're going to be wrapping up here in about a minute. Anybody you want to thank, any vendors, sponsors, anybody personally, you know, friends, family, you want
to
go ahead and shout out?
Just the Sparstar family, thank you for everything, for all the opportunities they've given us and the fight game. You know, we wouldn't be here without them. Thank you to all our fans, our vendors. We couldn't do it without them. You know, my boys, what I work hard to put a smile on their face, and knowing that I put a smile on their face makes my day.
Cool,
so
cool. Thank you, Marvin.
And
you mentioned your boys. I mean, you're a dedicated father. You know, you get your boys involved, and it's great, bro. I love hearing about how good they're doing. And, you know, I want to thank you for coming on, and, you know, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'll see you guys May 3rd. Like I said, it'll be off the hook with Dub C performing, man.
Hey, and make sure that you – hey, Marvin, before you go, make sure that MMAMadhouse.com is on that press release list Friday when you drop that bomb. We'd love to be one of the people who helps spread that news for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I'll call up Ray and let you guys know, man, what the big news is and when it's going to happen.
Thank you, brother, for tonight.
All right, man, thank you guys for having me on, and I'll see you guys at the fight.
All right, see you then.
All right, see you, man.
Great interview, Ray. Marvin, real good cat, man. Like him. Definitely can't wait to come and hang out with him and the rest of you guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to have a ball when you come out.
Oh, so we were talking tonight. I'd say I feel like a pretty decently stacked show, and guest number two is ready. You want to bring her on?
Oh, we got Melanie Lacroix. I mean, what can I say? She's one of the pioneers in women's MMA. She's making her Bama debut this Friday. Melanie, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. So, you know, tell us a little bit about your background and what you got going on this Friday and how people can get tickets.
Okay, well, this Friday I'm fighting Brooksy Boehner for Bama. You're going to have to go online to get tickets, I think, if you want, or you could go just buy them at the door. But basically,
I have tickets for sale, too.
You have some for sale?
Yes, I do.
Nice. There you go. That's how you get your tickets. Yeah, and it's been a long time kind of coming. You know, I've had a long time off. So I'm really excited to get back in the cage, kind of really feeling like reinvented and, you know, ready to go and ready to see, you know, what I can bring into this.
Hey, I want to jump in real quick. You know, I'll be honest. Today, I feel we see more athletes who fight than fighters who are athletic, whereas when you started, there was a lot of ladies that were fighters. They came, they fought, and it wasn't about, you know, a lot of the hoopla that, you know, today's women MMA is about sometimes. Do you think that you come from a tougher field of ladies than today's, like mentally and physically tougher than today's women MMA fighters?
You know what, I actually agree with you. In fact, I've gotten a lot of slack for referring to kind of, you know, the earlier days for me as, you know, we were brawlers. And, you know, we took fights at all kind of different crazy weights, and we just kind of got in the cage, and, you know, it just kind of seemed like the toughest girl won, you know, the strongest girl won. You didn't have the girls fighting back then, really, you know, like what you have now. You have Olympic athletes, you have, you know, collegiate athletes coming in and really, really raising the bar and really putting on some good shows and really performing athletically. And I just feel like I can relate to both of those. I feel like now I'm definitely tapping into my athleticism and really becoming that athlete. As to where before, I will, you know, definitely admit that it was just a little bit more of, you know, you just fought. You know, I wasn't very technical. I had some jiu-jitsu, and I just kind of took some fights and, you know, and kind of banged it out.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because it's no disrespect to any of today's fighters, you know, but I just with males and females both, but especially females, when you guys had a lot less opportunity. Today's fighters don't really understand that your opportunity might come Friday at weigh-ins because two dudes fell off the card, and that's the only reason you're getting on it. Whereas nowadays, they'll call you and give you a camp, and you get hyped up. But back then, you got thrown in. I saw women, especially during the Elite XC days, I saw women who would be 127 facing a 135er all day long, you know, because that's the only matchup they could get, you know. And you don't see that as much today. It's much more defined by weight classes for real and not just said. And the ladies that fought, you know, one of my favorites, Alexis Davis, you know, these were just, I felt, tougher, grittier fighters than today's athletes.
Yeah, and it's true. And I think, too, it's like, you know, back then it was like, it was kind of, you know, we got in there and it was like, I want to prove I'm tough. You know, I want to prove that I can fight. I want to prove I can fight. Now it's kind of changed. You know, I want to prove that I can fight. I want to prove that I'm a technical fighter. I want to prove that, you know, I can fight MMA. You know, a structure has kind of been put into place, you know, and now, you know, women are being classified, you know, women cage fighters are now athletes, you know, as where before it was just kind of, like you said, a little bit more gritty. And that's just, you know, I know it sounds a little bad, but it kind of is just the truth, you know?
I agree. With, you know, Ray, I'm going to jump in one more question. With that being said, first of all, you have, I mean, legends around you to learn from, work with, fine-tune, and keep building on the game. Do you think that people are going to be shocked to see what has progressed with you since we've seen you left? Because we know you got the grit, and we know you have the talent, but, you know, a lot of people, let's be honest, they're Zuffa zombies. They're not going to know who you are. They're not going to be like, oh, you're not a Ronda or a Misha. So are you expecting to really surprise everybody by what has changed in your game?
Absolutely. And I'm actually, the way I'm looking at this is my first fight. You know, I have experience, you know, from 6 years ago, and I'll take that, you know, and that obviously that goes inside of who I am, but it still doesn't even feel like a true foundation for me. You know, so this really has been a pivotal point for me in my life. I feel like an actual foundation has been built. You know, a structure has been built in my own personal life and how I train in my team. You know, and I'm learning a lot from the people around me, and I have such a good environment around me, such positivity. You know, we train hard. I mean, we bleed, we cry, we're sweating, but it's just positive, you know, and every day we're coming in, we're coming in, we're growing and we're growing. And I really feel as a person, I can't even explain it. I'm just going to have to go out there and fight it, you know, and I'm okay. Let's just forget about whoever I was, you know, it's about who I am today and what I'm going to do, you know, this fight.
Now, you're a mother now. You weren't a mother before when you fought. So how are you balancing being a mother and a fighter?
Oh, Lord. That's a good It's a tough one. It's a tough one because, you know, I work full-time. Obviously, being a mom is a full-time job. And training is taking up a lot of my time. I'm really lucky that my daughter, she's used to being on the mat and she's used to going into training. So for her, it's just, it's fun, and I don't really feel like it's just our life, you know. It's just our life. I don't feel like we're taking anything away from her. Our life is complete. She's a part of everything that I do, so it feels balanced, you know. I don't leave her with babysitters to go train, you know. It's our life, and it feels good.
I mean, it's kind of the family business, you know. You got your brother Howie Lacroix, who's a pro fighter.
Yeah.
Her dad, Kenny Johnson, you know, great wrestling coach, who's some of the UFC's top guys. How would you feel if she came to you one day and said, Mom, I want to be a fighter?
You know, okay. So I'm going to be honest. I particularly probably wouldn't want her to fight. But you know what? As long as she's picking something that's positive, which I completely believe MMA and fighting is positive, as long as she comes at me and she's going to work hard for it and give it her all, I will support her 100%. I will encourage her. I will do everything in my power to give her whatever I can to make that happen for her. I'm definitely going to encourage, you know, college and some type of other career. You know, I'm just being honest. I'm going to encourage that, but I would never deflate her dreams if she felt as like, Mom, I want to come out. I want to cage fight. You know, I want to see what I got. I want to try it. I would 100% support her.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't want my kids to go into fighting. I mean, if they wanted to, then I would be able to guide their career. But, I mean, as a parent, it would be hard there to see your child get beat in the cage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was just going to say, even watching people I know fight, like my brother or, you know, just guys on my team, even that gives me, like, a panic attack. So I can't even imagine.
I've seen you when Howie fights, and, you know, you're a nervous wreck, and, you know.
Yeah,
actually, coming into this fight, are you more nervous about your fight, or do you get more nervous for his fights?
You know, I'm not even nervous at all right now. I actually feel excited. And you know what's really funny is I was thinking the other day, I was driving to practice and we were sparring and I was nervous. I was driving to practice so nervous, you know, and then I'm thinking about my fight. I'm saying I'm not even nervous. And I don't know if it's because I'm training so hard. You know, it's just a feeling of being confident. You know, I'm not sure what's going on, but I really don't feel that nervous at all going into this fight.
Well, honestly, I mean, you're training with a group of killers. So there's nothing that your opponent can do to you that these guys haven't done to you already.
Right.
I'm just curious, you know, you guys are talking about kids and fighting. I'm just curious, as a mother, if you could pick an athletic field for one of your children to in life sometime down the road to be a professional athlete in, is there one you would prefer?
You know what? It's kind of hard to tell. My daughter's 4, so right now she, you know, she likes to sing and dance and tumble, you know. So I would like to pick something, you know, that would suit her natural abilities, you know. So I guess maybe like a gymnast.
There you go.
But, you know, anything's good. I love sports, and I think they're so positive for children, and I wish every kid had an opportunity to participate in sports. She definitely will. Where actually she asked me, there's a kid's yoga class down the street from our house, and she wants me to sign her up. So that's our next venture is yoga. So, you know, whatever she wants to do, as long as she's playing a sport, I'm okay.
So if the school, let's say she goes to junior high and high school, you know, locally, and they come to you and say she can take physical education as a class, or she can, like in Abu Dhabi, take Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as a class, would you push her towards the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu then?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I actually think every young girl should take some Jiu-Jitsu just for overall safety. And Jiu-Jitsu is really great at kind of empowering the smaller and the weaker person. And I really think that every woman should be taking some type of basic Jiu-Jitsu classes.
Well, I'll tell you what, any boy who would mess with her knowing who she has to learn from would be crazy.
Right?
Now, you're just right around the corner from your fight. Was the camp this time with your weight cut and preparing, how different was it from what you remember?
Man, here we go. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you again. I mean, you might want to, like, edit some of this out. I don't know if we're live or not, but back in the day, it was like, I did horrible things to cut weight. Horrible. You know, diet pills and eating carrots, like, you know, running 5 miles a day, depleted of any kind of nutrient, you know, your body needs, you know. And now it was like, I'm full, I'm eating, my weight is off. I feel this is the first time I've had a camp. You know, this is the first time I've had a legitimate camp. I mean, I remember flying, you know, to Missouri without a corner. I didn't even have a coach. You know, I just got on a plane by myself and asked someone to fight to corner me. So this is literally the first time I have a team behind me, you know, and it feels really good. And it's been smooth. It's been a really fast, natural, organic, powerful process.
Once again, that speaks back to the you know, the flavor of fighting that you first stepped into. I mean, you couldn't convince the average woman's MMA fighter today to hop on a plane and fly 3,000 miles by themselves to take a random fight.
Well, how about being cornered by your opponent's coach? Because that was my second fight.
That's a first. I've interviewed over 500, 600 fighters easily. I've never heard that one.
Yeah, and then I had to hang out with a girl for like 2 days after, and she just kept glaring at me. It's like, you broke my nose. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Speaking about that, I mean, you know, you broke your nose. Okay, you're a woman.
Yeah.
How concerned are you about any damage done to you? I mean, you know, you're a beautiful woman. I mean, that's got to be something going through your mind. You know, I don't want to get scratched. I don't want a black eye. Or you just go for it.
I don't think about any of that. You know what? I get hit so much. If I were thinking about that, I couldn't even train right. You know, like I've had a few black eyes going through this camp. Kind of bruised up right now, and to me it's natural. Like when people look at me and do a double take, I'm like, what are they? Oh, wait, yeah, I got two black eyes right now. You know, like, I forget. Like, to me, it's just kind of what happens, you know? I don't even think about it anymore.
Okay, next question. Who would win in a fight, you or Howie?
Like, if we fought each other?
Yeah.
I would win, and I'll tell you why. It's because I'm his bigger sister, and I know that, like, when you grab his neck a certain way, he completely paralyzes. And then he can't move, so I would just, like, go for the kill, grab his neck, and he couldn't even move.
Well, I hope none of his future opponents are listening.
I know, right? And he gave his secret away.
Now,
he's ticklish, so if his opponent's going to tickle him.
I'm curious. We've talked to a lot of ladies over the years, and this is one of my favorite questions to ask. Going out in public with a black eye and busted lips and stuff like that, have you ever had anybody pull you aside and say they can help you or you should get away from him?
I work in a doctor's, in a medical plaza, and I have had patients. I talking about me fighting is actually something I don't do. You know, I don't introduce myself, hi, I'm Melanie, and I kind of want to be an MMA fighter again. Like, I don't say that. But what ended up happening was, because I was coming into work with so many black eyes and bruises and cut up, they were going to, like, my, you know, the managers and to the doctors and stuff. I'm like, you know, is Melanie okay? You know, patients were legitimately concerned. So I kind of had to just open up a little bit more, you know, and just kind of tell myself, you know, you're not, because I just want to fight, not to say I'm fighting. I legitimately want to fight, you know. So to me, like, I can keep it to myself. It's no problem, you know. But I'm learning to have to kind of talk about it because it's not normal. It's not normal to a lot of people, you know, to have your eyes, to have black eyes and to have busted lips. It's just not, you know, and people get concerned. And I've had it happen so much that now I'm a little bit more open about it and more vocal and kind of, you know, as a part of who I am.
I didn't expect you to say you worked at a doctor's. I mean, you know, a lot of girls would be like, somebody at the grocery store, at the gas station, or a cousin might show up they haven't seen in a year and be like, you sure you should be? But a doctor's, I can't imagine. I mean, they must have just been having a little chat about you, like, oh, I hope she's not That's great.
They do. People get kind of thrown off because I'm a bigger girl. So I think if I were more like, I was like 110 pounder, you know, maybe they'd feel more like they could approach me. But I think when they look at me, they're legitimately confused. They're legitimately like, well, she looks kind of big and strong. She's got a black eye. She's in workout clothes. Her hair looks like a rat's nest. Like, what's going, you know, they look at me and they don't even understand what's going on, especially like if I'm with my brother or, you know, someone on the team or something, and they have a black eye. I mean, oh my gosh, forget about it then.
Now, speaking about your brother Howie, has he helped you at all for this camp?
You know what? No, this is my, you know, I'm over at Systems now, and Howie is over at Black House. So it's been kind of weird not having him be a part of it, you know, but it is what it is. He's still my brother, and he's still a huge part of my life, you know. But it's just weird that our training life is so separate from each other's.
You know, how we need to come back to Systems. I mean, you know, getting his training at Black House is great, but he needs to come back at least once a week to Systems. You know, we miss Howie, you know, back in the day when he was training with us at AMMS. Great, great kid, you know, and I love him to death. He's like a little brother to me.
Yeah, he's a total sweetheart.
Yeah, I mean, he's one person that you wouldn't think he was a fighter if you knew him in real life just talking to him. I mean, seeing him, yeah, you're like, oh, I don't want to mess with him.
Right.
But talking to him was like, this guy's not a fighter. He's too nice.
No, and, like, babies and animals like him. Like, he's the, you know, he's the guy that, like, people, you know, in the family be like, Howie, can you babysit? You know, because he was just so gentle. He was just so relaxed, you know. It is kind of surprising when people find out that he fights.
How do your parents feel about you stepping back in the cage?
I've gotten a lot of mixed responses. My mom is, you know, she's my mom, so it's going to be hard for her. She's a little worried, you know, you're a mom and you got to take care of your daughter, you know, but I just have faith in, you know, in God and faith in the fact that I really truly believe I'm where I'm supposed to be, you know, so I understand her worries. I've had a lot of negative feedback in other areas, but I've learned to just turn my head to that and then realize I also have a lot of positive support, and I'm focusing on that, and I think I'm really growing because of that.
Cool. Is your daughter going to be there at the fight, or you don't want her watching you fighting?
Okay, so my daughter asked me two days ago, if she could corner me in my fight. She'll be there, but she won't be cornering me.
Well, I mean, she could be there to keep Jaden company, too, because he gets...
Exactly, her and Jaden. Jaden's going to be breakdancing.
Well, he gets a little wild at the fights, too. You know, he gets into it.
Oh, my gosh. He should be, like, the intermission show.
He should be.
He is so cute.
The last time he was at a fight with us, he was in front of my booth for my clothing line for Takedown Grapplewear, and I'm holding mitts for him, and he's over there, you know, hitting mitts.
Right. And he knows what he's doing. Like,
he does.
He is so funny. Every practice, that's what we see. We got little Jada running around. He'll, like, switch from breakdancing to, like, stars chokes. It's so funny.
Well, you know, it was definitely great having you on. You know, I know you got to run. You got an appointment here at 8 o'clock. And is there anybody that you want to shout out, any sponsors, any teammates, coaches? Anybody
well,
you want
to
thank?
Well, just all my teammates. Yeah, I definitely want to thank my coach, Ian Harris, who really kind of took me under his wing and, you know, and all the guys at Systems who welcomed me in and has provided, like, the most amazing environment to work in. And I'm so grateful from the bottom of my heart. And I'm going to fight hard and hope to make them proud. And I appreciate them. And just all my friends and family who've supported me, too, and who are praying for me. I love them all, and I appreciate them all.
Good. So we look forward to seeing you on Friday. You know, I know I'll be rooting for you. You know, I'm part of Terrion's team, so, you know, we've got that system family thing going. And
yes.
You got a great coach in Ian Harris. The guy is a genius when it comes to MMA. So, I mean, you're going to do really well under him. And, you know, we wish you luck, and can't wait to see you walk out of that cage with that victory.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Well, that worked out perfect. What a great young lady. Folks, pay attention. I say that she has something most of the kids today don't have, and that is that experience, that grit that we don't see. I mean, and it's not to be rude. Don't get me wrong. I mean, wrestlers are great athletes. They are. But wrestlers are trained to go after the point. You know, wrestlers are trained to go for certain things. I agree, there are finishes, but they're points fighters, you know, and they're great athletes. They can go for 25 minutes inside that cage if need be. But grit, a fighter who is athletic, I say can beat any athlete who fights. So that's just my opinion. I love that she kind of has, you know, somewhat of the same opinion basically on the subject. She's a tough young lady, and I'm glad I'll get to watch her fight on GFL.
It's going to be a great fight. I mean, you know, she was trying to dismiss her previous experience, but, I mean, Elite XC is no joke. For her coming from that background, coming to Bama, I mean, she's going to tear it up. I mean, I don't know much about her opponent, no disrespect to her opponent, but I'd be very careful stepping in the cage with Melanie.
Oh, and that's the thing is, all the tape in the world, all the this and that in the world don't mean nothing because you ain't seen her fight in a couple years, you know, and you don't know how much she's trained, what she's gotten completely psychotically good on, and what that she might have been lacking on, if anything. You don't know. You can't judge what you could, any tape you could find. You can't use it. It's like she said, this is basically her first fight all over again.
And, I mean, you know, the pedigree she has, you know, with her brother fighting, her daughter's father being the wrestling coach to the greatest UFC fighters ever. You know, she's been immersed in the sport. You know, she's never really left it. And, I mean, if you look at even in the animal kingdom, just, you know, the fiercest animals out there are mothers. I'm not calling her an animal, but I'm telling you, now she's a mother. You don't want to mess with somebody's mother.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And we got a few minutes since we wrapped up a little soon with her. How about we play a quick commercial, throw down our favorite walkout music, and that way I can go around and have a quick cigarette, and we'll come back.
That's all good. Let's go. Let's hit it with Joe Camacho's walkout music.
Okay, let me pull that up because I know I have it in here. Okay, here we go. We'll be right back, folks, in 2 minutes and 43 seconds.
back there, Betty.
What?
Where were you born?
What?
Read my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A. I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A. Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo, por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra. Me gusta cantar el son, mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón.
Y volver, volver, volver. Otra vez llegaré hasta donde estés. Yo sé perder, quiero volver, volver, volver.
I'm talented, yes, I'm gifted.
Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man.
You were born in East L.A., huh?
All right, that's what we needed.
Yep.
Just sucks. I can't.
Gets me hyped up.
Yeah, and it's funny because I, you know, you sent me this music a long time ago on the very first show, and we've used it quite a bit. I like it personally. I played it on another show. We were talking about him, and I played it. I was like, oh hey, yeah, I got this. It's just bummer. I can't smoke in the new studio. I gotta run out. Man, it's like, argh.
Well, you know, speaking of Joe, you know, he was a true pioneer in the sport. You know, he started doing it back when it was no holds barred fighting, you know, before it was MMA. You know, you go back and watch some of his old video, and, you know, it's bare knuckles fighting. You know, people were still wearing wrestling shoes back then and knee pads and no gloves, and he's a true pioneer in the sport. And you know, we recently lost him in December, and, you know, he was a good friend and mentor to me. And I miss him most when my guys fight, because usually he would call me after the fight and give me his breakdown of the fight and how they did and what they could do better. And tell me, you know what, time to come to my gym. I was always Joe. Time to come hit me up this week. So, you know, he's truly missed in the sport. I mean, Joe is one of the great ones.
Oh, I can't argue with that in any way, shape, or form. And, I mean, as a fighter, getting ready to walk into, you know, the cage, it's got to be great to have someone like that come and talk to you beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I just look it on Twitter, too. Everybody's talking about, you know, Henderson's fight, but nobody's talking about CB Dolloway. I understood he destroyed that dude.
You know, I had the fight on, but I wasn't really watching it. You know, I do know he won, but, I mean, I couldn't tell you anything about what happened on the fight. But, I mean, that Henderson fight, I mean, at his age, to pull that off like that, and it wasn't a one-sided fight. You know, he was taking some licks, too.
Well, you know, that's it. I mean, the fight was a good fight. It was. It wasn't just a 30-second KO, you know, or anything like that. It was a good fight. I'm curious to see, as this was his last fight with TRT, what will happen. Obviously, anybody who read his interviews in the last few weeks knows the biggest issue he felt was quickness on healing and a lot less time laying around on the couch watching TV. He said it, you know, it kept him from laying down a lot. So, you know, I understand the issue of why they take the testosterone replacement therapy, but I'm going to tell everybody right here, right now, if you can't hit a fool, all the testosterone replacement won't matter.
Oh, exactly. You know, the same thing they talk about in baseball, you know, with the steroid use. And it's like, okay, well, all the steroid use in the world isn't going to make you connect with that ball. It's a game of skill.
Amen.
Brute force.
I tried to tell somebody that the other day. I said, look, if it was truly I could just shoot up some roids and kick butt, then why isn't Ronnie Coleman the number one player for the Yankees getting $250 million a year? The guy can deadlift 900 pounds, okay? He could crack a ball into next week if he could connect. But he can't connect. So all that muscle, all that strength doesn't get it done. So it comes down to, like you said, your ability to see that ball, your hand-eye coordination, your ability to pitch, you know, and throw a curveball. I can use all the steroids I want in the world, but there's no way I'm striking out Kim Caminiti or, you know, well, I say him just because I'm an Astros and he's one of my favorite, but you know what I mean. I mean, it takes talent, not just muscle.
You know, you get the same argument in boxing. So you look at when Oscar De La Hoya fought against Fernando Vargas. Fernando was juicing. It didn't help him. He still lost the fight.
That's a great point. It's a great point. You know, we've seen steroids do, you know, positive things when it comes to, like, healing an injury. I understand that aspect of it. I even understand the TRT aspect. You know, testosterone replacement therapy for some people is used. I know the myth is, well, they did steroids in their younger days. Well, no, it's just natural. When you get my age and your age, we stop producing testosterone at the same level we did when we were 21. It's just the animal instincts and nature in us. I mean, you know, we're not, you know, dogs running wild in the woods. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that certain people truly do need TRT, but I don't think it's the amount of people today. And I think that certain fighters might believe it makes them better, but it can't make you a better fighter. It can only give you more energy. It can only give you more strength. It can't make you a better fighter.
Oh, I mean, exactly. And, you know, and people who think that steroids aren't prevalent in sports today, they're lying to themselves. Because when you turn on that TV every Sunday afternoon to watch NFL or even Saturday to watch, you know, college football, they're all juicing. I mean, I come from the football world. And to tell you that I never juiced, I tell you that I'd be a liar. In order to compete at that level, you have to. So, you know what, maybe MMA or boxing, whatever, needs a steroid division.
Look, my partner Lepaki, the head writer for MMA Madhouse, who hosts show Wednesday night with me, he is dead set on letting steroids into MMA. He is dead set on it. He believes that that today's advancements and clears and sauces and the decas of the old, you know, it's a different world that you could do them safely, you know. But once again, then you're going to find people to take super steroids and figure out a way to cheat because they can. That's just the nature of human beings. But you know, he makes some valid points on why you could legalize steroids, and it's something that we should definitely talk about some more. But we should get Dimitri on, huh? It's time.
Yeah, we should. We want to let this mad, crazy Russian on the phone. We don't want to keep him waiting too long. So yeah, up next we got Dimitri Gerasimov coming up. He's got a fight coming up. April 12th for Lights Out Promotions at Hollywood Park.
Dimitri, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. How you doing, brother?
Good. How about yourself?
What's up, Dima? Hey, happy
What's
birthday,
up,
Dima.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate that.
So how old are you now, 42?
Not quite. Big 3-0.
Oh, you're still young.
Big 3-0 time in my life. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, for the fans listening, like myself, because I'll be honest, I don't know much about you, but we have a lot of fans all over Europe and Asia tonight listening, Africa. For all the fans around the world, can you tell us who you are, what your fight record is, and where you're fighting out of?
My name is Dmitry Gerasimov. I'm a professional MMA fighter, obviously. My record is 3-0 as a professional. I was 4-1 as an amateur. Also, I was ranked number 9 in the state of California at one point as an amateur. That sums me up. Originally from St. Petersburg, Russia. Grew up in Minnesota. Now fighting out of Hawthorne, California at a systems training center.
Nice. Now, you know, before we get too political here, you know, I just want to ask, what's your opinion of what's going on over there in the Soviet Union?
Oh, man, well, without really you ask a question like that in preference without getting too political. My birthright is Russian, but I grew up in the States, so I think it's up to the people ultimately to decide in Crimea what they want. They had a vote. But politics is politics. Who knows what's really happening underneath the, you know, behind closed curtains. So it's a tough situation, especially when there's military action involved. I can't really say I support one side or the other. It is what it is, I guess.
Fair enough. Okay, tell us what you got coming up. You got a big fight coming up against Max Cisneros, who's actually going to be on the show next week.
Nice. Yeah, really looking forward to that fight. Max is I know Max a little bit from the scene. I've ran into him. I've actually been to a party with him before. He knows, like, Terrion, one of my close training partners. Him and Max know each other pretty well. I know Terrion's gone over and trained with him a bit back in the day. Max is, like I said, super tough dude. It's gonna be a really tough fight. Probably my hardest fight to date. I'm training really hard for it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, Max is a good friend. You're a good friend. Man, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to watch that fight.
Ha, ha. Come on, you got it. It's gonna be exciting. So either way, you know, whoever wins, it's going to be entertaining. So you got to watch the fight.
That it will be a badass fight. I mean, you know, both you guys are very talented. You both got great hearts. It's going to be a barn burner.
I'm planning for it. I'm planning for a war.
You know, so a lot of people don't know, but there was a video produced a few months back about the fight before the fight, the weight cut.
Yeah.
You know, give us some insight into the weight cut because, you know, we all know you like to eat.
Yeah, right. First off, props to Vince Cachero with Flying Triangle Productions. He always puts together super dope videos. I mean, he's a really talented guy. Like I said, he's an artist. I can't give that guy enough praise. That video was done for my last fight for the RFA, actually Terrion, who I mentioned previously, was in that as well. That was actually one of my toughest weight cuts. I didn't think it was going to be a tough weight cut. I guess it was toughest because it kind of caught me off guard that I wasn't shedding the weight that I kind of anticipated. The cut before that one for my previous fight, it was actually super easy. It was a few sessions in the sauna, and you know, I walked away. I was barely even drained. This one, on the other hand, I thought I was done. Weighed myself, which was a dumb idea. Used the scale at the facility that I was cutting weight at, and then got home and checked myself on my scale, which I always use as my kind of standard. It's always accurate for me, and it turned out that I was like a pound and a half over, and I was already feeling pretty drained. Then I ended up having to do like 25 more minutes in my own tub, and like that part, that was just grueling. I mean, at some point I contemplated yelling out to my friends because I was getting a little worried that I was going to pass out, but made it through, you know, and Taryn made a really great point in that video, how we spend all this time training for the fight. The fight is usually much easier than the weight cut because we go in and out, you know, every day at the gym. We're sparring, we're getting hit, we're used to all those things. But the weight cut itself is something you don't really do repeatedly, you know, day in, day out. It's something that happens every couple of months or whenever you have fights. So something that it's a little bit something that we're just not used to. I mean, even though we as fighters are more used to it than the average person.
Now, you know, like you said, you know, the scale was a little bit off. Turns out you were, you know, a pound and a half over. Now, I mean, your beard's at least 4 pounds.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said your beard's at least 4 pounds. You could have just shaved.
Right. No, no way. Beard's a part of me, man.
Okay, you got a beard. I got to ask you, do you got, like, Mod Cabin as a sponsor or another comparable company?
No, but I should. I have actually another... I haven't thought about it, but that's a great idea. I actually got a shout out from a really popular Instagram account, I guess you should say, Bearded Lifestyle, and that was pretty cool. They gave me a shout out, but yeah, I should look into that. I don't have any beard related product sponsors yet.
Well, I just shaved mine off recently,
sorry for your loss.
Thank you very much. You know, something that if I was a fighter, and I am a media company, and we are actually going after a few different beard companies because too many guys, even in between training, will grow beards or just grow beards year-round. And, I mean, someone like yourself, you know, even if it's, you know, $300-$400 worth of supplies for the year, that's a lot of money, say, for a fighter.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Mod Cabin, if you're listening, hook them up.
Give me a hook up.
I was going to talk. You talk. You know, Ray brought it up that you know a little bit about the dietary and the weight cutting, and you mentioned you like food. How big of a distraction is food during camp to you?
It's not too bad. I mean, it's like actually, I spend a lot of time thinking about it more than actually eating. In a lot of ways, it's a welcome distraction because I'm not one of those guys that stresses over the fight itself. Maybe like all the things around the actual training camp that I obsess about. But I'm lucky. My beautiful fiance is a fantastic cook. She cooks like paleo, healthy food all the time. So I actually get off pretty easy. I don't struggle too much with the diet when I'm actually in training camp. But after the fight, you know, when Ray talked about how everyone knows that I love to eat, I hit it hard after the fight.
Now, what is the hardest thing for you to give up during training camp?
Alcohol. Yeah,
I like that.
That's not something like on the daily. It's just like I'll still try to go out and have fun with friends and, you know, live my life as usual. It's just, you know, seeing everyone having a good time, kicking back, enjoying a few beers, and I have to sit there and drink my water. That's probably the toughest sacrifice. I'm not a big sugar guy. I know how to eat healthy and eat well at the same time. So the food part isn't really that much of a struggle.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ray. No, I was going to say, you were talking about this. He was talking about the struggles and what's not. Do you ever mentally struggle in camp?
Yeah, I mean, every morning when I wake up, it's hard to peel myself out of bed. You know, I have a full time, like a lot, you know, this isn't unique to me. A lot of up-and-coming pro fighters work full-time jobs still. It's the day-to-day routine. I teach CrossFit and kickboxing over at Systems, and that's my part-time job. I also work full-time at Xfire, which is an up-and-coming esports video game tournament platform provider. So in addition to that, I have to train full time. So, you know, I'm tired 24/7 basically. So I guess if anything, it's just like just a day to day grind. I struggle with mentally, but at the same time, you know, I deal with it, and that translates into my fight. I come in mentally strong, and that cage door closes.
Now, I mean, that's one thing I wanted to touch on there. I mean, you know, you away from the sport, you kind of live like a nerdy lifestyle, you know, with your video games and whatnot. How do your coworkers perceive you as, you know, you're an MMA fighter?
They love to clown on me for all the various aspects. Like, I talk about my, you know, it's an ongoing joke that I'm like a chick because I'm always talking about my weight. I'm always talking about, you know, like my diet, So, I mean, but they're actually super supportive. They, I have at least a few coworkers come to every one of my fights, and yeah, it's cool. We're a close-knit group there, and they're generally pretty supportive. On top of that, Esquire, the place I work at, the company I work for, is generally pretty lenient. They afford me the time to train, so they're flexible with the schedule, and, you know, like, especially close to training camp, they give me days off and or allow me to, like, work from home on certain occasions so I can focus on my training.
That's good. I mean, it's great that you have that type of employer.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't. Now you've been in the sport for a while. You know, I've known you for quite a number of years. And
yes, sir.
What would you say is was your hardest fight?
I mean, my hardest fight was the fight I lost. I in amateur. It was my third fight. I fought Marlon McGee. It was the training camp leading up to that. I had an injury. I didn't have a job at the time. I was unemployed, and I had I'm not sure if it was like a dislocated shoulder or not a dislocated shoulder, but I had something crazy that with my collarbone, not my shoulder, sorry. And I basically, for like a month out from the fight, couldn't do a push-up. There was a lot of things. I lost a lot of my mobility, and it really limited my training. I couldn't really throw a hard jab. I could put my hand out there for the motion, but I couldn't put any power behind it. And I can't say that injury was a factor in the fight, but it was a factor in the training camp. And then to come in there, it was a title fight what was the show called?
Knockout.
It was Tracy Hess's show. Was it Lights Out also?
No, Knockout.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, for Knockout, title shot for Knockout. And actually, you know, I came back. I rallied in the third round, but I lost the first two rounds. And, you know, I make no excuses. I consciously took the fight knowing that I had an injury. And, so it was tough to lose. I didn't like how it felt, so I vowed to try my hardest never to let that happen again. It's been good so far. I had a rematch with Marlon for my second pro fight, and I beat him, so...
Now, what has been your favorite fight to date?
My favorite fight? You know, I mean, I got to say, I'm always ready for a war. I like fights to go into the third round. I like to break the will of guys. Not to sound like a sadist, but, you know, I when we do rounds at my gym, we don't do two rounds and then pretend like the guy got finished in the second round. We go three rounds, four rounds, and when we're doing live sparring, five rounds, whatever it takes. So I always come prepared for that. And my favorite fight was probably my fourth fight against Blake Booten. I finished him in the third round, but I felt like I that was my like kind of comeback fight after losing my third fight, and I felt like I was on fire. So I'm always kind of I'm hoping to repeat that performance in this next fight. The last few fights have been kind of more of a grappling match, and I've always considered myself a striker. So I feel like I really haven't had a chance to showcase that in my professional career yet.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, your first amateur fight. I remember that when you came to me and said you wanted to fight, and you know you've been around the gym training, and you know I really didn't know how serious you were. So I was like, this kid wants to fight. Okay, I'm going to get him a fight. We'll see how he does. Tito was like, you don't know. Just wait. I'm like, well, you know, he never really seemed serious about it, but, all right, you know, we'll throw him out there. And, oh, man, you tore that kid up.
That was, I had a lot. It was funny. I had a lot of, it wasn't that funny. I had a lot of, by the way, Roger, if you're listening, love you, brother. He's a training partner now. The guy that I first fought, Roger Brito. He's part of Team Systems. What I carried, that was a lot of emotion. I had a 9-year career at Electronic Arts, which is one of the larger video game publishers in the world. I was there for a long time, and I got laid off 2 days before that fight. So I had a lot of emotional buildup going into that fight.
Oh yeah, you sure relieved all that night.
I definitely did. And hey, you know, it was like it made me, and it really has been one of the best things that ever happened to me. What felt like, you know, was really misfortune turned into my greatest fortune, because that helped jumpstart my. It was all part of me jumpstarting this whole MMA career that I have now, and it's been the best thing in my life. So,
and I mean, you're definitely capturing the attention of some of the bigger promotions out there. So it's just a matter of time before you get called up.
Amen.
And you know what a lot of people don't know is, you know, you're quite the dancer. So, you know, with the win right here in the Lights Out ring, are we going to see some dancing in there after you win?
Yeah, I kind of think I stepped away from the dancing. I'm more focused on fighting now. It might be 540, but yeah, I'm getting old, Ray. I'm getting old. Can't dance anymore.
I know. You're catching up to me, bro. You're in your 30s now.
I know, right?
Hey, let me ask you, Dimitri, the next step in your career. I know fighters try not to look too far in the future, but is it a Bellator World Series, you know, Zuffa, and that's it? Or are you willing to go to, like, 1FC or DARE or EFC Africa or M1 Global or KSW, anything like that, or maybe the 5-8 leagues of the world that you're interested in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to anything, but I have my sights set on the UFC.
Okay, that's fair. Hey, that right now, you know, that is the ultimate goal for fighters. Just like, you know, 10 years ago, it was Pride. And you know, I believe down the future we'll have another league that everyone wants to fight for. I'm curious, you know, especially with your background, I think, you know, M1 right now with all the Americans that they're signing, like it's going out of style, like you guys are going to run out of fighters over here. It just hit me. I was like, well, you know, you did say your culture and your history is in Russian and descent, and they're signing fighters like left and right, the 4, 5, 6, 7 fight deals, like it's going out of style. So I would, you know, and what's what you've been doing in the cage, you know, I think that might be a good match for you to get, you know, a few more pro fights with some experience and traveling and maybe facing something outside your own region.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and I'm still busy in my career. Like, I've had 3 professional fights. I'm about to have my 4th, April 12th, with Lights Out. But I know that, you know, me saying at this point that I want to go to the UFC is probably a little bit premature, but again, my end goal is the big show, but I have to build my resume, so I'm willing, of course, to take fights where I need to take fights to get to that point.
Fedor, if Fedor's listening, sign this kid after he gets his 4th victory.
Well, you know, Skippy, let me tell you what. After his pro debut, that same night, Bjorn Rebney came and said, I want that kid. I mean, that his pro debut, he impressed Bjorn Rebney. So, I mean, the sky's the limit for Dima at this point.
Awesome. Boom, look at that. That is what we call negotiating weight. Okay, that gets you a fatter contract, okay, buddy? Use that to
for
your
sure.
ability. If they want you, make them pay for your talents.
Absolutely.
So, oh, look at that. That's some dead air.
You know, Dima, we say this all the time, especially with systems. You're in a camp full of killers. I mean, I remember we were sitting there at Jaden's birthday party in Little Flash, and I'm telling my girlfriend, look around this room. In the next year to 2 years, all these guys are going to be in a big show, and there's going to be multiple champions coming out of this one room. I mean, how does that make you feel every day when you wake up and you got to go train with these guys?
Oh, I love my team. We have a house of future champions, and we've been together for less than 3 years, and we've already built so much, and our team has grown so large, and it continues to get bigger. You know, we have UFC level guys at this point. Pedro Munhoz, who just had his UFC debut against Rafael Asuncao, trains with us on the regular. Pedro's our jiu-jitsu coach. We have a lot of guys that are up-and-comers. I mean, you have guys like Terrion, guys like Christos Giagos, who's fighting April 12th, guys like John Robles, who's fighting April 12th. We have a really good talent pool. And more than just the level of talent that we have, Emil Hartzner, who is on the Ultimate Fighter. He didn't make it into the house, but I guarantee you that guy will be in the UFC one day soon. We have more than just really talented fighters. We have a family. It's just for anything. It never feels like work going to that gym, you know. And it's one thing to just say, like, oh, yeah, we're all friends, which we are. But we have such a good group, and everyone vibes so well together. I get excited. I get excited to train with these guys and girls. I look forward to it. You know, that's the thing when I talked about earlier how it's, like, hard to peel myself out of bed every morning because I'm just tired. That's what motivates me. Aside from, me advancing myself within my MMA career, seeing these people on a daily basis, I look forward to it. I look forward to shooting shit with them. I look forward to training with them. I look forward to learning from them. I look forward to teaching what I know. It's an awesome group. Team System Training Center is an amazing team, and I guarantee you, I know not a lot of people outside of the local Southern California circuit have heard of us. They will, and they will soon.
Well, that's the whole point of this show is for us. Okay, MMA Madhouse, don't get me wrong. Zuffa is the ultimate goal for a lot of fighters, but that's not all there is to this sport. There is guys like you who are digging in those trenches 9 to 5 every single day trying to get to that level. And it's the biggest reason why I love working with Ray, and I'm glad that Ray said, Skip, I can bring you Southern California, and I can bring you that MMA scene, and you're going to be amazed because we've got the best fighters in the world right here. And every week he introduces me to somebody new I didn't know much about. And don't get me wrong, I watch MMA from Kazakhstan, Berlin, Hamptons, Georgia, California. I don't care where it's from. I watch roughly 300 events a year. You know, I love to see what these kids are building and doing and coming up with. And you're right. It's might not be, a name on the tip of the tongue right now, like maybe a Jackson's or a Rufus or a Pacific Northwest or, a Phoenix, Arizona, or now Albuquerque, but you have the ability to put it on the map by what you do is not only in that cage, but outside that cage. And I love it. Your attitude seems like the right kind of attitude to have. It sounds like you're with a great, great group of individuals to prepare you and give you those tools. So I say you go out there and you make a statement in this fight coming up on the 12th for Lights Out, and you show everybody what you guys are producing.
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
Now, Dima, how long have you been? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I appreciate what you do, Skip, putting this putting this show together and, giving the local guys a voice. It's pretty awesome, you guys. I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you on behalf of myself, and you know, I don't want to overstep my boundaries and speak for a lot of people in my position, but I'm pretty sure I would be by saying thank you.
Well, let's be honest. It's guys like you on Fridays and Saturday nights in small town USA that put on these shows that sell new fans, because somebody's going to bring a buddy, a co-worker's going to come watch you who's never seen it, and they're going to fall in love with the sport. And whether they stay local or go and become a Zuffa zombie, that doesn't matter. They're now supporting the sport, and that's what we need. We want that so that we could be the next NFLs of the world. Let's be honest. You want to be able to say, you know, to your grandkids, I was there. I was part of that. You know, I was this great fighter. I held all these championships. And if we don't give you a voice and a chance to, you know, to come onto a show like this and be interviewed and to see what that other aspect of the game is like, because there's more than just training and fighting. You've got to be able to sell yourself to not only us, the fans, the sponsors. And I'm just blessed that, you know, we can have guys like you come on this show, because you're the reason I go out every single weekend to a local event, is guys like you. Not only that, most of the fights I see are way better than anything you see on a pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love going to amateur fights still, because you see guys that just put it all out there. They're not always the most technical, but, you know, guys, they're not fighting for money most of the time. So they're fighting because they want to be there, and it's always entertaining. The amateur shows and the local shows. They don't get, you know, there's no way that you can live off the money that you make from fighting on the local circuits. I mean, it's a nice bonus. It's some nice extra cash in the pocket, but there's no way you can sustain yourself on a regular basis just doing this alone. So most of the guys that do it, you know, because obviously they want to, at some point, hopefully make money, enough money. But even that, doing our fighting, but that's not even that's a reality. As we all know, if anyone that's really a fan of MMA knows, there's a huge amount of controversy about what fighters get paid even at the highest levels. The other reason is the local guys, they're doing it because they want to do it. They love the fight.
Now, you've been in martial arts basically almost your whole life, basically.
Yep.
At what point did you say, I want to be an MMA fighter?
Oh, well, I always wanted to fight, but it was just, you know, growing up, I did taekwondo. I wanted to do full contact kickboxing. It's not something my parents were really into. It's also something I didn't really know how to jump into. There wasn't any kick, as far as I knew growing up, there wasn't any kickboxing gyms in Minnesota. And I just kind of, my life kind of got sidetracked at some point when I moved out here to California. I stepped away from training taekwondo even, and then I started working in the video game industry. And about 6 years after I was out here, when I was around like 24, 25, I got tired of not doing anything athletic, and it was actually, again, my fiance that pushed me into training, and I the first day I walked in, way back, I mean, you remember Jeremy Polak from AMMS. Back then it was known as Wizmac. First day I stepped in the gym, he said, "What are you trying to do? Do you want to just train, or are you trying to fight one day?" I said, "I want to fight one day." Now, granted, it took a few years for me to actually get to that point, but I felt ready. But
yeah, speaking of Jeremy, I saw him last week.
Oh, really? How's he doing?
He's doing great.
Nice. Yeah, I need to give that guy a call. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Dimitri, I got to ask you, would it be like the ultimate week for you to win this fight April 12th and then go into work Monday and have the video game people say you got to test the new UFC game?
Well, that's probably not going to happen. The UFC game, the license is owned by EA, which of course I got laid off from a few years back, and I'm never going back there. So, it would be cool,
Let me stop you there. Let me stop you there. Okay, you got laid off from EA Sports.
Yeah.
2-3 years from now, somebody's testing that game, and you're a character in that game because you're now fighting for the UFC. How was that?
Oh, sorry. I misunderstood the question. Now that, yeah, of course, that would be fantastic. It would be a dream come true. That would be like just it would be an awesome memorial. That's something that I could always pull back and be like, look, I was in this video game and I got propelled into it through my career, through my effort, through
the
my
real question is, would you play yourself as a character or would you pick your favorite fighter?
I would, in those games you get a chance to create your own. So I would build myself from the ground up. I would make my own.
Do you have your own character already built? Do you have your own character already built?
He would be a heavyweight black guy with a big afro.
Okay, because I know Carrion has his own character built already. We were in Vegas for a fight. 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and he's playing video games, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And I'm looking at the screen, and it's him fighting on there. He's like, "I'm practicing."
Okay, look, we're talking sponsors earlier. We need another sponsor to step up right away for Dimitri. We need him to be shipped to Northern California to have a 3D image laid of himself, so we can get him an actual action figure MMA fighter made with, you know, arms moving and everything. Somebody step up and sponsor that. Right? Yeah, you know, one of the articulating ones. It's like only like $600-$700 I hear nowadays. That you go up, they scan you, they make a mold, and they make the toy, and you get it.
Nice.
I like that the right link. So.
Oh, you know, you've mentioned your girl a couple of times. You know, obviously you said she was kind of the pushing force to get you into the gym to start. When you go to an event, does she watch the fights?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, this is one of the many reasons I love her. She's never once said, "Oh, you got to stop." I mean, she's never even talked about stopping, not even like down the line, you know? She's always been super supportive. She knows how much I love it. She respects it. She respects the fact that I love it, and she's supportive 100%.
Is she training at all?
She does CrossFit about 5 to 6 days a week. Takes my kickboxing class every once in a while.
That's cool. You got a great girl there.
CrossFit. You mentioned CrossFit. How much has CrossFit helped you with your MMA training?
Oh, man. I use it for strength and conditioning. In and out of camp, you know, I use it to keep myself in shape. I usually do a lot more CrossFit when I'm not in training camp. But when I'm in training camp, I'll still use it, 2 to 3 times a week, especially closer to the fight, maybe a little bit more further out. But yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic overall athletic program. So it's made a huge difference. It was really. In my second pro fight, I felt such a big difference. That's when I started really getting into CrossFit, and yeah, I just in general feel a lot stronger on a daily basis. When I grapple, when I strike, everything my just moving is easier.
Nice. Now, getting back to Amy, you got engaged a few months back. Have you guys set a date yet for the wedding?
No, we don't have a hard date set yet. Mostly because I'm still in the, like, you know, I had a goal of fighting 3 to 4 times this year. This is going to be my second fight this year. I had a fight in January, so I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of heavily in the mix. I have a lot of momentum with the fighting thing right now. So I haven't set a date, but it is going to be this year. We're not going to throw, I mean, me and her have been together for 10 years. We're not going to throw some huge celebrate a huge wedding. It's going to be something small with something intimate with close family and friends. And, we're just going to celebrate. What's that?
In a cage?
In a cage, right. She would love that. She doesn't get enough MMA on a day-to-day basis with me as it is.
Okay. Now, who is the one person, regardless of weight class or promotion affiliation, who would be your dream fight?
Who would be my dream fight? Wow. Abraham Lincoln.
Really?
Love it.
That wrestler.
It's from Fight Club. I was quoting Fight Club. Dream fight. You know, okay, this is going to sound a little messed up, but Fedor, because he's actually my idol and the reason that I got into MMA, one of the reasons that I got into MMA. So I couldn't think of a better person that I'd want to challenge myself against. Even
okay.
though he's retired at this point. But I guess it was a hypothetical question, right?
So, yes.
Regardless of weight class, so.
Hypothetically speaking, again, you could fight any city in the world. What city?
Well, I guess if saying LA would be kind of boring, right? I mean, fighting in St. Petersburg would be amazing. That's where I was born. St. Petersburg, Russia.
But, hey, that's a very, very easy deal, you know. And the kind of reason I bring that up is you are right now, you know, in that stretch where you're starting to find yourself as a fighter and you're railing off victories. This is not only the time for you to get paid, but this is also the time for you to get, you know, traveling. You know, guys like DJ Linderman and Jeff Munson, you know, they've both fought 5-7 times inside the United States, but they fought in 25 times outside the United States, you know.
Right.
So now is a good shot, you know, for you to actually travel some. I know, and I can't say it's a guarantee the first time you fight, but I know M1 in the past has brought guys' wives as well as a coach after the second or third fight with them. So, you know, I mean, obviously it's something as your, you know, fame grows and your winning grows that you can negotiate in there. But for you personally, I mean, now's the time. I mean, you know, get paid and travel and, like you said, build your resume. But don't be afraid to build your resume in Brazil or in Canada or in you know, in Bangkok or in St. Petersburg or Abu Dhabi or Tunisia. I mean, these places all right now, Cape Town, all have major leagues that are signing U.S. fighters for good money. So, you know, that's something as you obviously, you know, continue to grow in your career, you want to get to your ultimate goal. But if that ultimate goal hasn't, you know, been offered that day, take that overseas fight versus a local fight if you can, brother.
Sure.
That stress,
absolutely,
that mental, that weight cut, everything's going to be different and make you a better fighter.
Yeah, I completely understand. And I'm open to it. I mean, my phone's always on, so.
Well, don't say that. I got a horrible tendency to turn certain promoters onto fighters, and then they get signed, and then it's like, I can't get him on my show anymore because he's too busy. He's in Canada or he's in Russia or – because, I mean, I've got right now – you know, this is no joke. Anthony Burshak, the 135-pound champion at MFC. We were literally talking to Mark Pavlich, the owner, on one of the shows. I'm like, you got to see this kid. He's tearing it up. And he's like, oh, yeah, I hear that all the time. So we sent him a clip and – he's like, well, he's got a fight coming up. I'm going to watch it. Well, we all seen what happened since then. He's now the world champion. He's got a $20,000 championship ring custom made, and he's the first ever and still undefeated 135 champ up there. So we'll pass your name around, brother. And if the door is open,
cool,
congratulations. You know, I mean, that's what this is about. Once again, giving you a platform to get your information out there, let fans find you and follow you and watch you grow.
I appreciate that.
Ray.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do this. We've got about 10 minutes of live air left. So before we run out of time, because I'm really enjoying this interview with Dimitri. Dimitri, you go ahead and take as much time as you need, man. Any shout-outs, any sponsors, any social media for fans around the world to follow you on, whatever you want to say. If you want to sell your used car, whatever you want, it's your time.
Go for it, dude.
Cool, thanks. Well, first off, I want to give a shout-out to Ian Harris. He's the head coach over at Systems Training Center. He does amazing things for our team. He doesn't ask for much. He's the core reason that we are where we are, because he shows up to all of our amateur guys. He shows up to their fights. All of our pro guys, he's there at their fights. He's there every single day training us, getting us ready for fights, motivating us. Big shout out to Marcus Koval, who's the owner of Systems Training Center and also one of my coaches. He's a great guy. He's incredibly intelligent. He's super motivated. He's done amazing things with our gym, and I can't thank him enough. Big shout-out to my entire team at Systems Training Center. I love you guys. Like I said before, we're one big family. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you guys, if you guys weren't beating me up every day and, you know, sharing your knowledge with me. Big shout-out to Team Victory Muay Thai and Coach Rod. Coach Rod has really improved my striking game, and he's given me a home away from home. Big shout-out to my beautiful fiance, of course, Amy. She's really the reason that I'm in MMA, like I mentioned before. She's the one that pushed me into it. She's an amazing woman, and I love you, baby. I want to say thank you to all my friends and family, all my supporters. You know, you guys, man, it tears me up sometimes just how much love I get and how much support I get and how people show up to fights and just, you know, drop me a message on Facebook. It really keeps me going on a day-to-day basis. Big shout-out to John and Christos. They're both fighting on the April 12th card with me. Two of my closest training partners. They're two of my biggest motivations. Both those guys showed me what it is to work hard and what it is to really be a fighter. Big shout out to Tarion, who's fighting. He's one of my oldest training partners. He's fighting March 28th for the Bama bantamweight title. Also another one of my inspirations. His work ethic and his commitment to the sport. He started training years after I did, and he's 10-2 as a professional, and I'm only 3-0. So again, you're inspirational, Tarion. He's a great father too. And finally, yeah, just I want to thank you, everyone that's a fan of MMA, everyone that keeps the sport driving forward. It's the best sport on earth. I love it to death. It's not just fighting; it's mixed martial arts. And there's that respect and discipline within the sport, and I love it for it. Thank you, Ray, Skip. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Thank you for doing this on a weekly basis. That's it, I guess.
Tickets for your fight.
What's that? Oh, yeah, and of course, yeah, April 12th, Lights Out Promotion. Come check us out. Hollywood Park Casino. In addition, also Fernando Vargas, Ruben Ward, who are fighting on that card as well, are teammates from Team Victory. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at D1_MMA for pictures of good food and training and the general MMA lifestyle. That's it.
Well, thank you for coming on, Dima. I mean, we look forward to you getting another victory. Went up in April, and bro,
hey,
you're gonna go far in the sport.
Thank you, guys.
Dude, I'm telling you what, you're killing it tonight. It's been truly a pleasure to hang out with you. I hope that we can get you maybe on some of the other shows on this network. They have 6 different shows that we own throughout the United States, and on a few radio stations down in the Florida area. So I'd hope we can get you on the show maybe after your victory or before your next fight or something, because you've been a great interview, man.
Thank you, man. It'd be an honor. I'd be happy to do whatever shows you guys got going on. Whenever you guys open your doors to me, I'll be there.
It's a guarantee. We'll figure out some time to get you on some of the other shows. I think your mentality, your talent, I think everything, you know, if you could put everything you have right now in a fighter bio and send it out, there's nobody who's going to say no, period. I mean, I'm ready to call my buddies and be like, dude, you got to get this kid on your fight card.
Cool. Thank you, Skip. I appreciate that.
Great attitude, obviously very talented. I want to once again thank you personally for coming on. It's been truly a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, one more. Can I do one more shout-out? Sorry, Skip.
Yeah, go for it, brother.
last but by far not least, again, I just want to give a shout-out to my gym, Systems Training Center. You can check us out on Facebook at Systems Training Center. We're located in Hawthorne, California, South Bay. Check us out on our website, www.systemstrainingcenter.com. We teach CrossFit. We teach MMA. We teach kickboxing. We teach Krav Maga. We teach yoga. It's an all-inclusive gym. We have a great group here, and please come check us out.
Dude, okay, you just named off like a bunch of different sports. Obviously, we've got a few minutes left, a little over 4 minutes. I got to ask you, with your descent, I'm a Thai fan, okay? First and foremost, my favorite sport. Second, combat sambo. How much do you enjoy doing that?
Oh, see, this is a little dark spot for me. I haven't done a lot of sambo, unfortunately. Our boxing coach, James Teal, is actually the U.S. He was a U.S. combat sambo gold medalist. He grew up doing sambo. He's as American as apple pie. But, yeah, not me. I haven't done it. I love leg lock. It's a strange coincidence, but yeah, I haven't done a lot of sambo, unfortunately.
Oh, it's a great sport to watch, man. Straight up, I get to punch you while we do jiu-jitsu. That's cool. Oh, Ray, you want to wrap up anything? Go for it. Well, we got about 3 minutes.
I just want to thank you for coming on, Dima. You know, you're always welcome. There's a number to call in. Anytime we got a guest you want to talk, go ahead and call up. We'll get you on the show. And I just want to thank you for coming on, and we'll be out there April to cheer you on, and can't wait.
Cool. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, bro. You know, it's keepy. Like I said earlier in Dima's interview, we got his opponent, Max Cisneros, on the show next week. You know, get his viewpoint on it. You know, that this is a fight where both fighters really respect each other a lot, respect what they can do, and it's going to be a good fight. And the thing with Max, like I said, he's a good friend of mine too. I've known Dima, you know, a little bit longer. But Max is actually trained by my mentor, Mike Rush.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so this is a fight that hits pretty close to home on both sides.
Ah, see, I need to get down there a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, you do. And then next week, too, we also have Derek Big D Martinez on the show, and he's an amateur fighter out here in California. He's one of the big boys. You know, he's close to 300 pounds, but, you know, this guy's just knocking people out left and right. I think he had, like, a 30-second knockout at the last Spar Star. He's out of Flores Muay Thai. This kid is doing big things in MMA, and so we're going to have him on the show, and I might have I might have a controversial interview next week. I'm trying to get these two guys, well, actually one of my guys, and this guy that they fought a couple years back. We're trying to make the rematch happen. These guys hate each other, so I'm going to try to get them both on the show at the same time, so that'll make for some interesting radio.
Oh, at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't have these guys on separate. It's not going to do it justice.
Okay.
You have them on you can feel the animosity.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll just go ahead and say that show's not going to make AM radio, and we'll just leave it as a podcast. How's that? That way you can tell both guys that there's no worries about what they might say or do.
Oh, I mean, definitely that show, that's going to be a lot of F-bombs and a lot of, viewer discretion is advised.
Now, we're going to wrap up, folks, and we're going to wrap up a little old school for everybody. Ray, once again, wonderful night. Persist Headwear, Takedown Grappleware, hit them up, find them, follow them. Everybody support local MMA, Eagle.
Hey, yo, man, you remember that shit Easy did a while back? Motherfucker said it wasn't going to work.
That old crazy shit.
Yeah, the stupid shit, man.
Dope.
Hey, yo, Easy. Hey, man, why don't you come off the piano for a minute, man, and bust this crazy shit.
Woke up quick. At about noon, just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins, before my mother starts bitching about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind. Young niggas at the pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the Mac-10 on the side of my hip. Bells outside and pointed my weapon. Just as I thought, the fools kept stepping. Jumped in the foe, hit the juice on my ride. I got front and back and side to side. Then I let the Alpine play. Bumping new shit by NWA. It was gangster, gangster at the top of the list. Then I played my old shit, it went something like this. Cruising down the street in my 6-4. Jocking the bitches, slapping the hoes. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoops. A car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit.